the guy who doesn't have to get better. He's on top of his game. Craig Elston, the mighty 1090 in San Diego. Always a pleasure to have him on. Craig, how are you?
I appreciate that, Marty. I'm glad someone feels that way about me. Thank you, buddy.
Come on. You've had a tremendous year with your Aztecs, San Diego State. You're all over that.
Oh, yeah. What a great run for SDSU. Coming up just a little bit short against the terrific Arizona team, but Sweet 16, second time in school history.
Yeah, it was great. I love the coach. I think that guy, Steve Fisher, is just outstanding.
No question. One of my favorites.
Yeah, outstanding. All right, I'm going to ask you this since you're a basketball guy, and my alma mater, the University of Florida, is in action today. How do you see the Final Four shaking out?
You know, I tell you what, the Wisconsin-Kentucky game is the one I go back and forth on. I like Florida. I like Florida big. They're my favorite in the Final Four. They'd be my number one selection. And I really do think Kentucky would be my number two. I'm just wondering if the Wildcats can keep that magical run going. I kind of feel like it's going to be an all-SEC final. And then Florida's going to have to decide if they can beat Kentucky a fourth straight time this year.
I know. And, you know, not to belabor this, Scott Ryman, my producer, is a Wisconsin guy. And I've been through this Florida-Kentucky thing for years. And every time you turn around when you need a win, they show up. And believe me, I've been burned enough times by the Kentucky thing. But, all right, let's talk baseball. The Padres. And, of course, you have shows on around the Padre game. We haven't seen them. I know they played the Dodgers. Not a lot of runs scored today. It's Cashner and Jose Fernandez down in Miami. A great matchup. Just bring us up to date on the Padres and what you've seen the first week.
Well, I'll tell you what, Marty. You start with an off season where I think for the first time in a while, the Padres actually raised their own expectation level, and for a little bit at least, some of their somewhat jaundiced fans here. Who have been waiting to see this Padres team take a step forward. When you go out and you get a little bit more aggressive, you make a trade for a guy like Seth Smith, you sign Joaquin Benoit to replace the guy you traded out, Luke Gregerson, and then you go out and you take what frankly I think is a flyer, an $8 million one-year deal with Josh Johnson, who was being wooed by the Giants as well. When he was out there in free agency. So in that aspect, I think expectations went up a little bit here in town, Marty, but coupled with the fact that this is a Padres roster that really is built around a lot of guys who have a hard time staying on the field. And so far through spring training and in the first week of the season, that's exactly what we've seen. Carlos Quentin starts the year on the disabled list. Cameron Maben's on the disabled list. What do you know? Josh Johnson's on the disabled list. And the Padres are having a hard time manufacturing runs. So, admittedly, against a pretty darn good Dodgers team and one good game down there in Florida. So, while expectations went up, you know, the thing I keep telling folks down here in San Diego, Marty, is if you build your team around players who have a hard time staying healthy, when they get injured, it's not bad luck. You should be ready for it.
Boy, that is the truth. Boy, Craig Elston with us, giving us a good report on the Padres. Now, again, you have injuries in baseball, and sometimes people do come back. Is there any timetable to get Josh Johnson back, get Maben back, or Carlos Quentin?
So the one that really makes you nervous is Josh Johnson because it's a right forearm strain. And Marty, you've been around this game long enough. Those forearm strains, you know, you hear about a strain, a flexor strain, a forearm strain, and then all of a sudden the next thing you know, actually there was a problem with the ligament. And you find out a little bit later. Josh Johnson missed his last 13 starts of the year in Toronto because of a strained forearm, and he starts off the year with it. So what they're talking about is give it, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks to quiet down and then get him back on a throwing program. But until I see him on the mound, to me, his timetable is indefinitely because – it's just hard to predict a guy who's had that many problems in the same spot that it's just going to get better.
Wow. Craig Elston, mighty 1090. Craig, how do you see the West shaping up?
Yeah, I see it as the Dodgers and the Giants. I've watched both those teams a great deal this week. I just heard you talking with your caller about Mike Morse, and I agree that Morse was a very good pickup for them. I think Tim Hudson was a tremendous pickup for San Francisco, and just that every other year thing of the Giants having a down year last year, and it just looks like from having watched them against Arizona and L.A. they look like a rejuvenated team. But there's no question the lead dog in the NL West is the Dodgers. They've got the best team. I mean, for God's sakes, Marty, they've got $81 million on the DL right now. And they're still able to be a very dangerous franchise. No one's got more depth. No one's got more resources to go improve something if something goes wrong. So I look at it as the Dodgers, and I see the Giants as a very strong contender to either battle with them for the division title or to battle for a playoff spot.
Wow. Hey, you know, it's funny. Bjorken, my producer, was saying this the other day. The Dodgers seem to have a bullseye on their back. Everybody dislikes the Dodgers. And, for you know, I watched a lot of the Padre games against the Dodgers, and I thought they're very spirited. Arizona can't stand them. They had to go to Australia with them. We know Dodger Giants, Colorado. Everybody's got a problem with the Dodgers. Maybe this will play out. Maybe it gets teams to play better against them.
Well, and you know, the Dodgers welcome that because, frankly, for a while, L.A. lost its way as being that franchise that people hate. The Dodgers want to be the West Coast Yankees. They're acting like it. They're spending like it. There's certainly a lot of institutional arrogance there. And you know what? Honestly, I think it's great for everybody, Marty. I think it makes for a more entertaining NL West and fiercer rivalries.
All right. Hey, pitching-wise, we're going to see the Padres April 18th, six times the month of April. Cashner, I saw him in spring training. I saw Posey go oppo, grand slam on him. But, of course, he had a great game against the Dodgers, his first time out. How's the rotation looking?
Yeah, and it really is led by Andrew Cashner. Today's game should be really fun. Cashner, by the way, Marty, a guy who going into last year had a little bit of that same tag in terms of getting injured and can he stay on the mound? Can he be an every starting pitcher? It was that transition from the bullpen to the mound last year, and what you saw from the bullpen to the rotation, and what you saw second half was a guy who really grew into his shoes and became a number one starter. Cashner can just flip in that two-seamer and bear down on you and then crank it up into the mid-upper 90s when he needs to. As long as he stays healthy, I really do believe the Padres have found themselves a number one. And then from there, you've got a group of guys who could go either way. You know, I look at Ian Kennedy as being kind of a good, solid number three starter. I think in baseball right now, he's a steady Eddie for you. Tyson Ross, you know, candidate for regression maybe, given how great he pitched last year compared to the rest of his career. But the Padres love his stuff, love his makeup, his build. Had a rough start his first time, especially in the first inning. Got a lot better. So he's kind of a question mark. And I think the same thing could be said for Eric Stoltz, who pitched 200 innings for the first seven of his career last year. Kind of in that Barry Zito mold of a soft tossing left-hander who can throw four pitches for strikes, obviously with a much smaller paycheck. But I think Stoltz is a guy who the Padres ideally would like to be pushed by their young arms. But here's the thing, Marty, just to wrap up this part of the report, you know, the Padres were counting last year on guys like Corey Lupke, Joe Wieland, and Casey Kelly, kind of the young wave of arms that would help build this rotation for the future. Lupke having his second straight Tommy John surgery. Wieland unable to get going after his Tommy John surgery last year. Casey Kelly slow to come back as well. Three guys, again, who fit into the Padres subset of players who have a hard time getting on the field.
Boy, amazing. Injuries. Boy, injuries, injuries, injuries. Hey, I appreciate having you on. As one last thought very quickly, a surprise, either good or bad, of the Padres' first week, what would it be?
I would say Seth Smith bombing a couple of home runs early at Petco Park and showing that he could really offensively, at least for a while, stand in there and offer similar production to Carlos Quentin. If Smith keeps hitting like that, Padres' offense will be a little bit better than expected.
All right, very good. Hey, a pleasure having you on. We'll do this again. I'm always glad to be on your show as well. Padres come in. Giants go down there April 18th, then we see you back here by the end of the month. So, Craig, thank you so much. And tonight, Cashner and Jose Fernandez down in Miami. We'll watch it.
Should be a good one. Thanks, Marty. Anytime you need me, buddy.
All right. Very good. Craig Elston, the mighty 1090 in San Diego.